All right. Good evening, everyone. Let us begin. So we are Mir Hashem continuing. Actually, what I'd like to do this week, we haven't had Shir, I know, for a couple of weeks, but the last time that we learned together, we had started Kapitel Ayin Aleph, 71. So I'd like to actually continue a little bit in that particular Kapitel tonight as well, as there's a pasuk that really caught my attention. I'm sure it's going to catch your attention as well. And it's in number one. So David HaMelech writes, this is in Kapitel Ayin Aleph, so pasuk test, chapter 71, verse 9. David HaMelech writes, Al tashlicheni le'eis zikna, kichlos kochi al ta'azveni. So again, if you recognize this phrase, it's because remember we have an adapted form of it in Shema Kolinu that we say over the course of Yamim Noraim, first as part of Slichos, then as part of Davening, and is based on this Pasuk in Tehillim. Literally, David HaMelech says, do not cast me away in my time of old age, kichlos kochi, when my strength fails, or my strength is diminished, or my strength is gone, al ta'azveni, do not leave me, do not forsake me. So we're going to see tonight, we're going to do something a little bit different, and what I want to kind of begin with is, throw at you just a number of different interpretations of this pasuk. And what's really incredible are just the sheer number, the sheer variety of interpretations regarding this phrase. So let's begin first with number two. So according to the Medrash, the meaning of the pasuk is as follows. Al tashkin le'izikna shezakanti begalus. Ultimately, again, David HaMelech says, what is this a reference to? Don't cast me away in my old age. I got old in galus. I got old in diaspora, meaning what? Kichlos kochi, she'in bi ma'asim tovim, al ta'azveini. Kichlos kochi, what does it mean? Again, that my strength goes away. That refers to the fact that I don't have any mitzvahs. I don't have any ma'asim tovim. Again, we'll come back to that theme in a little bit as well again. Al ta'azveini, do not go ahead and forsake me. Do you need a pen? Okay. We're full service over here. So kichlos kochi. So again, David HaMelech says, "Al tazveni v'chol hamizmar mitzar hagolos hazeh." So this is really incredible. So what's happening over here, according to the Medrash, this entire, remember, we actually saw this, when did we have Shir last? 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago? Whatever, a number of weeks ago. So remember, again, we saw that this entire Kapitel Ayin Aleph, according to the Medrash, is all about golos. Is all about the diaspora experience of the Jew. So according to the Medrash, this is so incredibly beautiful. When David HaMelech says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, do not cast me away in my old age. Old age, according to the Medrash, is not a reference to biology. It's not a reference to biological age. Rather, what is it a reference to? Diaspora. That we've been so long in Galus that we've grown old in Galus. We've grown old in diaspora. The truth is, We contend, you know, one of the most jarring things I think about the times in which we are living in since October 7th is this feeling of the diaspora Jew before October 7th and the diaspora Jew post October 7th, right? I think pre-October 7th, again, we kind of, I think many of us convinced ourselves that anti-Semitism was something of the past, right? It had become something that was, you know, part of Jewish history, but not really part of the contemporary Jewish experience. And now, since October 7th, we've seen how incredibly false that is, and how the reality of anti-Semitism is still so alive. So why did we delude ourselves, right? Why did we think that at the end of the day, anti-Semitism, even in a great country like this, was long gone? And again, the Medrash would say, le'is zikna. What happens when you grow old with something? You become accustomed to it. You become used to it. So therefore, according to the Medrash, David HaMelech is saying, we have grown old. Now remember, I just want to point out over here, we've mentioned this in the past, Sefer Tehillim is comprised essentially of three different thematic overtones. There are some kapitlach which focus on specific events in David HaMelech's life. And almost many kapitlach could be linked to a particular event. Then there are some kapitlach which make reference to historical events. And then there's a whole body of kapitlach, a whole bunch of chapters of Tehillim, which make reference to future events. So according to the Medrash, Kapitel Ayin Aleph is all about the future. It's all about the future. It's not about David HaMelech's life, all right? According to the Medrash, it's not about David HaMelech's life. It's not about Jewish history. Rather, it's about Jewish future. And David HaMelech prophetically sees that we are going to spend large swaths of time in the diaspora. And what's the danger? Atashlichini le'ezikna. sometimes we grow old, we become so accustomed to galus. So you see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what happens over time in galus? Well, we run the risk of losing our identity. We run the risk, ultimately, again, of Judaic erosion. We run the risk of losing sight of who we are and of what we are. That's kichlos kochi, when my strength wanes. And that's why the Medrash says, when my strength wanes, I don't have mitzvahs. That maybe over time of living in the diaspora, I forget who I am. But this is so incredibly moving. David HaMashiach Baruch Hu, even if I forget who I am, what am I asking of you? Al ta'azveini. Al ta'azveini. You know, you see this interesting idea in this relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which very much resembles the relationship between a child and a parent. What does every single child want from their parent? Don't answer money, right? After that, right? What does every single child want from their parent? Love. Unconditional love, right? Now, what's the really intriguing part of the child's desire for unconditional love? That, in other words, the only reason you ask for unconditional love is why? If you don't deserve it, right? In other words, if I deserve to be loved, it doesn't have to be unconditional, right? If I deserve it, then I'm asking my parent for their love because at the end of the day, I've earned it. You only ask for something unconditionally if you know that there are going to be times where on your own, you haven't earned it. So it's incredible. What a child wants more than anything is, I just want to know that my parent is going to love me no matter what. No matter what. It's an incredible thing. One of the ways in which we give our children a sense of security in life is by providing them with unconditional love. That's why, again, it's so important, you know, every parent always praises their child when they do something right. It's very important to also make sure to praise your children, even when they've done something or they haven't done anything at all. Or maybe even in a moment where they failed at something, make sure to bring out something positive. Those moments where you express love and those moments where you express acceptance, those are the moments that build up children because they realize now my parent has unconditional love for me. So it's incredible over here that what is David HaMelech asking from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's so beautiful. David HaMelech is asking for unconditional love. He's saying like this, Al tashlicheni le'ez zikna. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there are going to be times where I grow old. Growing old, according to the Medrash, I'm in galus and I don't have any holiness. I've divested myself of all of my holiness. I've lost my spiritual shine. I've lost everything. Even in those moments, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that I am not spiritually strong, even in those moments where I don't have mitzvos, I have one request. Al tazveini, don't leave me. Love me unconditionally. Isn't it absolutely incredible? What we want from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the same thing that every single child wants from a parent. Unconditional love. Just tell me you're going to love me no matter what. Just tell me you're not going to cast me away when I do the wrong thing. Just tell me that even when I mess up and I leave you, you're not going to leave me. You know, we say this in davening. In davening, well, we say it in Sefer Tehillim as well. We say, Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha v'nashuva. Right? What does it mean? Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha v'nashuva? Hashem, bring us back to you and we will return. What a chutzpah. Right? I'm saying, God, you, God, bring me back to you. You do the work. You do the work. Right? And then I'll come back to you. What is that a request of? Or for, it's for unconditional love. At the end of the day, what scares me most deep down in the recesses of my neshama is rejection from the Ribono Shel Olam. The same thing that scares every single child deep down is the rejection from their parents, right? Sigmund Freud wasn't the first person to discover that our relationship with our parents fundamentally shapes who and what we are going forward. Chazal understood this, David HaMelech understood this long before. So such a moving pasuk, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if I don't deserve your love, even if I've lost, so to speak, my spiritual shine, I'm asking for you not to reject me. Give me, promise me, unconditional love. So beautiful. On the other hand, the Ibn Ezra and the Radak, sources 3 and 4, understand this pasuk a little bit more literally. And they say like this. They say, Al tashlichini hatam kasher azartani, nuarai, azartani eis ziknasi. Ibn Ezra says, David HaMelech is saying actually something really much more straightforward. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the same way that you took care of me in my youth, take care of me in my old age. Straight out, Hashem Baruch Hu, you know, when my strength fails me, when my physical faculties are not the same, when my emotional, my intellectual faculties aren't the same, do not abandon me. The Radak says the same idea. He explains so beautifully. He says, "Atashlichini ato kasha ani zaki." Now that I'm old, the kala kochi and my strength has waned. Al tashlichini vi al ta'azveni heye ata kochi umaozi. So what's incredible from the Ibn Ezra and the Radak is ultimately, again, you know, it's such an incredible thing. What's the scariest thing of getting old? Scariest part of getting old? Scariest part? Not that anyone here would know, right? Maybe you have a friend who's old, right? So, scariest part?
Dependence.
Lack of independence, right? Loss of independence or dependence. So David HaMelech is saying something, it's incredible. You know, David HaMelech, of course, is David HaMelech, and he's the father of the Messianic line, the father of dynastic monarchy. But David HaMelech is also a human being. He's also a human being. So what's on David HaMelech's mind? I'm scared of getting old. And I'm scared that when I get old, I'm going to become dependent. So I'm asking you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to help me age gracefully. I'm asking you to, you've been there for me through my youth. You've helped me. You've kept me strong all the time in my youth. I'm asking you to help me in my older age as well. Pasha Pshat. So that's the Ibn Ezra Adak. Look at number five, another Medrash. So this actually is incredible. So in the Agavas Bereshis, he writes as follows. The Medrash says as follows. Amar David Mei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. David Mei says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Al Tashlichini Le'ezigna. Tanu Melech says, HaKadosh Baruch. And by the way, I want to point out, I'm giving all these approaches to you. They're not mutually exclusive. They're all true. And to me, what was so gripping about this pasuk is how you could have all of these different interpretations, literally in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Eight words. Yet again, according to the Medrash, it's talking about Golos. According to the Ibn Ezra, the Radak is talking about the fear, the anxiety of aging. Look at number five. So David HaMelech says, Kishayisinar, this is incredible. Kishayisinar, hayisi nos yotzei demochama, v'nosei nafshi al banayich. So listen to this. David says, you know, when I was a young man, remember again, I've mentioned this many times, right? Whenever you see the painting of David HaMelech, picture of David HaMelech, what is he always pictured with? Right? A harp. Right, very few pictures of David HaMelech with the slingshots, right? We think about it, but he's always with the harp. So I mentioned many times, David HaMelech, I guarantee you, did not spend that much time with the harp. Right? David HaMelech's life was spent with the sword. He was a warrior king. Right? He rises to warrior prominence when he kills Goliath with the slingshot. But David HaMelech's entire life was battle after battle, war after war after war. So this is such a profound statement. David HaMelech says, Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know, when I was a young man, I spent my life fighting battles. I went to war for your children. V'achshav shehizkanti ein bi od koach. But now I'm an old man. And as an old man, I don't really have any more strength to go out and fight wars. Listen to this. V'hein omrim ad masai hazakin ze chai. And people say, how much longer is this old man going to live? So what is the Medrash saying? This is so profound. David HaMelech is saying that sometimes the sadness of old age is not of becoming old, but it's sometimes how society views the elderly. So David HaMelech says, sometimes when people look at me and I'm an old man, they think I'm worthless. And why am I worthless? Because I can't do the same things I did in my youth. When I was young, I was the valiant warrior. When I was young, I saved the day. So David HaMelech says, it's incredible. In a world which judges the value of a person based on their productivity, the old person is worthless. See, you know what's incredible? We think that like these things are new dynamics. They're not new dynamics, right? There are very few new dynamics, right? The only new thing I think that we have in the world now is that people put their pronouns at the end of emails. But other than that, right? Other than that, right? All of the other dynamics, right? They're the same things. They're the same things. David HaMelech says, so like in the world, how do people judge a productive person, right? What's a valuable life? Is that a person who could produce? Person can't produce, They're not worth anything, right? The worst word ever codified in the entire field of medicine is the phrase quality of life. Who made that up? Who decided what quality of life is? Who gauges what's quality and what's lack of quality? But it's incredible. This is David HaMelech is saying, David HaMelech, I feel marginalized. When I was young and I was able to fight, I was valued. And now that I'm old and I'm not able to fight, people look at me like I'm a waste of space. And they say, when will the old man just move on to the world to come to make room for younger people? It's such a profound window into David HaMelech's life. That David HaMelech says the way that people are is that, I don't mean to say this like in a jaded way, but people are often live life based on, what have you done for me lately? So if you've done something for me, then you're valuable. If you haven't done something for me, then you're not valuable. And David HaMelech says, that's how I feel. It's so sad. It's so tragic for a man who devoted his life to the Klal. A man devoted his life to Klal Yisrael. He's now saying, like, in my golden years, in my old age, I feel really that people don't care about me. Why? Because I can't produce the way I used to produce. So David HaMelech is saying, and it's so profound, saying, Hashem Baruch Hu, I'm asking you, don't be like them. The world has discarded me because I can't do what I used to do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all I'm asking is you don't do the same. Al tashlichini le'ezikna, kechlos kochi al ta'azveni. The world has cast me aside in my old age. And by the way, you see this. We see this in David HaMelech's life. Remember, again, I mentioned this before. David HaMelech is on his deathbed. Right? Sefer Melachim. David HaMelech is on his deathbed. What's happening when David HaMelech is on his deathbed? Literally, again, he's drawing his last breaths in this world. And what happens? His son, Adonio ben Chagis, is proclaiming himself as king. I don't understand. The king is alive. The king is alive. And the king decides ultimately who his successor is going to be. So what are you doing? What are you doing? So besides just the hurt, but understand what that essential, what is it broadcast? What it broadcasts is, David, you don't matter. You don't matter. You're dying. You're laying in your bed. Just die ready. Just die ready. Move on so the rest of us can move on also. What you think or what you say doesn't matter. How profoundly hurtful is that to a man who gave everything for his people? So all David HaMelech is saying, it's incredible. David HaMelech is not asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to change human nature. Why not? Why not? HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do anything, right? He could do anything. But at the end of the day, human nature is human nature. That's just the way that it is. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm not going to daven for you to change people. People are who they are. All I'm asking of you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is don't be like them. They've discarded me because I can no longer produce. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please do not cast me aside. It's a very personal kapitel. It's David HaMelech again over here, according to this approach, really opening his heart and really expressing just a profound sense of sadness, of loneliness, and of hurt. And it's just asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu not to discard him the way that the world has already. All right, let's go on. Number six. Yalshich takes us in a different approach. Yalshich writes, and again, all of these work beautifully together. It's just incredible to see how many different interpretations we have. Number six, the Yalshich, he says, ki eni boteach ba'atzmi gam bezikno. V'yalkin amarti al tashlichini ki zeh taloi bazeh. So let me tell you this outside. The Yalshich says, he understands that this is talking more in a spiritual sense. Now we're going to transition, right? So again, if you're kind of keeping track of everything, so we have the Medrash in number two that tells us that this is a metaphorical allusion to the experience of the Jew in the diaspora. We have number three and number four, Ibn Ezra Radak telling us that this is actually about physically growing old. The Medrash in number five telling us that it's also about growing old, but a feeling of no longer mattering. Mattering? Is that a word? Yeah, no longer mattering, right? No longer feeling important in this world. The Al-Sheikh sees this not really on a biological level, but rather he sees it on a spiritual level. What does this mean? So Dan also like this. So he says, Hashem Baruch Hu, you know, in almost everything in life, the more you do it, the easier it becomes. right? Whatever, you fill in the blank, you know, your career, your hobbies, whatever it is, the more proficient you become at it, the better you become. What's the one thing that doesn't follow that same paradigm? The one thing that doesn't follow that same progression is ruchnius, spirituality. Right? The interesting part about spirituality is the more you do it, it doesn't necessarily become easier. In fact, sometimes it can be just the opposite. The older I get and the more entrenched Baruch Shem Nagoy that I become my Yiddishkeit, the more challenges I have. This comes up, that pops up. You know, I was just seeing this in a different shir, that often ruchnius, you know, like they have that game Whack-A-Mole. I'm familiar with that, right? Where you, like, you hit the thing and nothing comes up. That's very much the way ruchnius works, right? So I have a challenge. I overcome one challenge in ruchnius, and then what happens, right? And I'm feeling so good about myself because I worked hard on something. Then what happens? Literally a second later, another challenge comes up. Okay, I deal with that one. Then another challenge comes up. So the Alshik says that I'm not saying like this. Klish Baruch Hu, just because I'm an old man, does not in any way mean that I've mastered spirituality and have overcome my temptation to sin. There's only one time that a person can be absolutely assured that they have overcome their temptation to sin, and that's when? When you're dead, right? It's one of the positive byproducts of death, which is you are no longer tempted by anything in this world, right? You're pretty confident that I'm not going to sin anymore after I die. But until that moment, right? It's the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Al tamin ba'atzmecha ad yom moscha. Do not believe in yourself until the day that you die. Now, of course, you should always believe in yourself. But what it's saying is, a person should never think. It's very important. You ever have a situation where sometimes you're listening to like Kriyas HaTorah, or you're learning something? Like, I'll give an example that in Parshas Acharei Mos, we read this on Yom Kippur afternoon, right? After Yom Kippur, Parshas Acharei Mos goes through all of the lists of arayos, forbidden relationships. The truth is, a lot of times, if you look through that list, right, what goes through your mind? Right? Like, whoa, there's temptation for a lot of things. Like this, some of this stuff over here, no. It's very important for a person, and this might sound a little bit strange, it's very important for a person to recognize, we are not above any temptation. We're not above any temptation. Give a person the ability to sin and put them in the circumstances that would allow for it, and we'll pretty much do anything and everything. A person has to live life like that, because if a person thinks that they are beyond temptation, right? I can't be tempted to sin. That is exactly the moment when a person stumbles. And that's why it's interesting to note, anything that the Torah prohibits, this is very important, anything the Torah prohibits, Torah only prohibits something if what? If people have a natural desire for it. So if the Torah goes out of its way to say, you can't do this, as crazy as it sounds, that means embedded within each of us somewhere is a desire to do that thing. Like, you know, you look at the Torah, goes out of its way multiple times, say, don't eat blood. Don't eat blood. You're like, I got that one covered, right? I Baruch Hashem, I could say I struggle with a lot of stuff. Blood consumption is not one of them. But if the Torah goes out of its way to go ahead and repeat it multiple times, it means you do have that desire. Now, maybe that's not the active desire inside of you right now. But don't delude yourself for a moment to think that ultimately it's not there. Do you know why we read all of the arayos, all of the most like crazy, illicit, illegal relationships on Yom Kippur afternoon? It's like the strangest Torah reading for Yom Kippur. Why? Why? Because we have to recognize that our greatest susceptibility, our greatest Achilles heel, our spiritual Achilles heel, is in the realm of immorality. That's where it is. That's where human beings, that is our greatest weakness. So on Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement, the day when the slate is wiped clean, we read about the most heinous and illicit relationships as a way of putting ourselves on guard to maintain proper morality in the year ahead. So David HaMelech says something amazing. David HaMelech says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I know that even though I'm an old man, I am not beyond the temptation to sin. Isn't that incredible? Even though I'm already an old man, I know that I'm not beyond temptation. Now remember, David HaMelech more than anyone knows that when a person thinks that they are beyond the temptation to sin, that's when downfall comes. That's the whole story of David and Bathsheba, right? The Gemara Maseches Brachos brings down that David HaMelech felt so spiritually confident that he could not be tempted by anything. And meanwhile, again, he falls into this entire terrible mess with Bathsheba. So now David HaMelech learned his lesson. He's Chesh Baruch Hu, I might be an old man, but I'm self-aware enough to know that I am not beyond temptation. So who helps us? How do you deal with all the pushes and pulls that we all experience, right? And especially, again, this is so relevant, especially like in the society in which we live, which everything feels at times so immoral and so sexualized in an inappropriate way. So how do you navigate in a world like this? And the answer is, you need a Kadosh Baruch Hu. David HaMelech says, Kadosh Baruch Hu, I can't do this alone. I need you to help me. Don't think that because I'm an old man, so suddenly again, I have no more temptations. I have no more desires. That's part of my past life. Not true. Kichlos kochi, even though again, I may have less physical strength, al tazveni. Do not forsake me. Do not leave me. I need you in order to be spiritually successful. What a profound and incredible idea. David HaMelech highlighting to us that a person should never think that they are beyond temptation. A person should never think that they're no longer susceptible to any kind of aveira. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu says you're not allowed to do it, it means that somewhere inside of me there is a desire to do that very thing. Some things are more acute, some things are more awake, some things are more dormant, but those pushes and pulls exist within each of us, and without HaKadosh Baruch Hu's assistance, we would fall prey to anything and everything. Incredible. So that's what I'm saying. Even when I'm an old man, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't forsake me. Take a look. I skip a little bit to number 8 for just a moment. So Rashi, continuing a little bit on the spiritual sense, says something really amazing. Rashi says over here, Le'ei Zigna, Rashi says, Im zakanti b'chatam klomer shechatasi harbe. So this is very interesting. Look how Rashi interprets this. So Rashi understands, Al tashlicheni le'es zikna. Literally, don't throw me away when I get old. Rashi says, what does old mean? What does old mean? I'm old with sins. Okay, interesting. I'm old with sins. I've sinned so much. Don't throw me away when I get old. Old meaning I sinned so much. So what's the connection between old age and sin? What's happening over here? So take a look at number 9. This is perhaps one of the most beautiful pieces of the Baal Shem Tov that you will ever hear in your entire life. Till we learn the next piece of the Baal Shem Tov, which is going to be even beautiful. So like, what do you write over here? This is so beautiful. He says, "Me Baal Shem Tov bear inyan al teshchin leizikna hakavano sha'al yashlich ha'es lidei zikna." So this is incredible. The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh says something amazing. He says, what does it mean to become a zaken? So the Rebbe says, to be a zaken means to become someone who is set in their ways. Old age is a double-edged sword. On one hand, again, what is the word zaken is actually an acronym for Ze Shekana Chachma. One who acquired wisdom. There's a certain wisdom you pick up just by living, right? Just by life experience, right? That independent of how much Torah you know or you don't know, if you live in this world and you experience this world, by definition, there's a wisdom to be gleaned. So on one hand, old age carries with it a profundity that now hopefully I'm smarter. What's the danger of old age? The danger of old age is a person could easily become set in their ways. And the older I get, often the more inflexible, rigid, and unwilling to change I become. You know, it's interesting. My grandfather, Zichron of the Bracha, he always used to joke around. He and my grandmother, Zichron of the Bracha, always had this thing that my grandmother was always very big, like into birthday presents and things like that. My grandfather, Zichron of the Bracha, said he did not believe in birthday presents. He was kidding, but he says, why? He says, because the only time that a birthday is only mentioned once in the entire Torah. Where is it mentioned? Paro. Yom Huledes Paro. Yom Uledis Paro. So he said, you see, birthdays are a gayishazach. He said, you see, right? See, birthdays, right, right? It's not Jews don't do that. We don't do that. You don't celebrate. Only Paro celebrates birthdays. So when I got older, I remember I once asked him, and of course it was in jest. I said, well, hey, there must be like a deeper meaning to it. So I remember he once told me something so beautiful. And he explained that there's a danger in birthdays. What's the danger? Is that every year older I become, I become more entrenched in who I am, in what I am, and have an unwillingness to change, adapt, or just somehow evolve. Now, again, on one hand, becoming more entrenched in who you are for good things obviously is beautiful. The danger of getting old is that ultimately, again, I become inflexible. The Baal Shem Tov says zikna, the concept of zikna, doesn't have to mean biological aging. What's a zakin, says the Rebbe? A zakin is someone who's inflexible, unwilling to move, unwilling to change. Just simply saying, this is who I am, this is what I am, love it or leave it. Right? This is the way it's going to be. You know, you want to hear something amazing? Something absolutely amazing. This is really amazing. The Torah in Devarim speaks about the concept of erchin. Erchin is an erech vow, is a person chooses to go ahead and pledge their value to the Beis HaMikdash. Now, the way erchin vows work is they're objective amounts. So, right, if you're a man between the ages of 20 and 50, your value is X. You're a woman between the ages of, 60 and above, your value is Y. You're a child, your value is Z. They're fixed values. So a person says, Erki Alai, hereby pledge my value to the Beis HaMikdash. They have to go ahead and give that amount. Wonder something amazing? Who has the lowest value on the Erech scale? The lowest value? Get ready for this. Lowest value, 60 and above. 60 and above is the lowest value. Says the Baal Shem Tov, why? Why is 60 and above the lowest value? The Rebbe says, because the older we get, the less receptive we are to change. The older we get, the more set we are in our ways. And there is an inverse relationship between your value and your willingness to change. The less you're willing to change, the less value you have, right? The more willing you are to change when you're younger and there's a greater receptivity to change, there's a higher value. It's an incredible, incredible idea. So therefore, if we tie this back to Rashi, Rashi says over here, le'eis zikna, that's what Rashi means. Im zakanti bechatoim. So David HaMelech says, Kadosh Baruch Hu, I recognize that sometimes what ends up happening is I become a zakein. But not a biological zakin, what we'll call a lifestyle zakin. What does it mean to become a lifestyle zakin? Lifestyle zakin is a person who says, I am no longer either willing to change, right? And people finish a sentence different ways. I'm no longer willing to change, or maybe more popularly stated is, people like to convince themselves, I'm no longer able to change. I can't change. That's called zikna. Isn't that absolutely incredible? The definition of zikna says the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, and that's what Rashi is saying also, im zakanti bechatoim, sometimes we become so entrenched in negative behaviors. We become so entrenched in just lifestyles that I know are not good, are not healthy, are not going to help me become the best version of myself. But I'm so entrenched in it that I feel I can't change, I won't change, I don't want to change. That Baruch Hu, here's what I'm asking. Al tashlichini le'ei zikna. Don't let me become that person. Don't let me become that zakein. Kichlos kochi. Even when I think I don't have the power to affect change, al ta'azveni. Don't give up on me. Don't give up on me. David HaMelech over here, and this is such a dramatically different twist, but David HaMelech over here is not lamenting biological old age. He's lamenting the fact that sometimes we just get so set in the personalities we've created, in the lives we've created, even though when we recognize that perhaps they're steeped in mediocrity, and perhaps, again, they're not as beautiful or as holy as they could be, but I'm just so used to living this way that ultimately, again, I can't even see something different for myself. And David HaMelech asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, Al tashlichini le'eis zikna. Don't let me become that kind of zakein. If you see me heading down that route, head it off at the pass. help me to acknowledge the power of change. Help me to acknowledge the ability to change. Don't let me become the kind of person who becomes a zaken, who is immobile, immovable, unchangeable. Help me always realize that I have the power to evolve and to change into whoever and to whatever I want to be. Incredible. I'll show you something interesting. Just, I think that there's a beautiful tie-in to the parsha with this as well. If you turn over the page, so this week we have the privilege of Parshas Yisro. So again, here I'm giving you the pasuk from the opening part of the parsha. The pasuk says, "Vayishma." I apologize for the little boxes over there. I'm not sure what that is. "Vayishma Yisro koin midyan chosei Moshe is kol asher asel kim leMoshe liYisrael amo ki yotzi Hashem Yisro miMitzrayim." So what happens? The pasuk says, "Yisro, who was the koin midyan, right? He was a priest for idolatry, father-in-law of Moshe Rabbeinu." Heard everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for Klal Yisrael. And ultimately, again, he comes to join Moshe and Klal Yisrael. Okay, pretty straightforward. Rashi says, Mashmua Shama Uba. What did Yisro hear? Because the Pasuk says, Vayishma Yisro, he heard. And he decided to join Klal Yisrael Moshe Rabbeinu. So Rashi HaKadosh asked him, What did you hear? So Rashi says, Kriyas Yam Suf Milchamas Amalek. He heard about the splitting of the sea. He heard about the war with Amalek. In number 12, in the Ish Kodesh, the Piyajetzna. Hashem Yikom Damav Kolam is Kama Shapira. So again, I'm sure many of you are familiar. The Ish Kodesh are the drushas. The Piyajetzna Rebbe was a Rebbe in the Warsaw Ghetto. Well, he was a Rebbe in Piyajetzna, Poland, which was a small town not too far from Warsaw. So during the war, the Rebbe was in the Warsaw Ghetto. And every Shabbos that he was able to, he gave a drusha. After Shabbos, those drushas started in 1939. And they continued until the Rebbe was murdered by the Nazis, Yimach Shem Zichram, in 1942. And on Matzei Shabbos, after giving the drasha, the Piyajetzna would record the drasha. A little bit of a historical debate. Some say the Rebbe didn't write it down. It was a gabbai, someone else who wrote it down afterwards. And towards the end, as it was clear that the ghetto was going to be liquidated, someone hid the transcripts of the written transcript of the drashas in a milk canister, buried it in the ghetto. After the war, the milk canister had Hebrew writing on it was found by a Polish Gentile who saw that it was manuscripts, gave it over to the Jewish community, and this manuscript was bound together to become the Ish Kodesh, Holy Fires. And the drushas are arranged year by year. So this is actually Parshas Yisro, 1939. So incredible. So the Rebbe writes over here, the Rebbe's bothered, let me tell you this outside a little bit, the Rebbe's bothered by a basic question, which is, and by the way, you could even see, if you look at the beginning of it, you see, Parshas Yisro, B'Shabbos Zeh Hayisi B'Heichaveh. The Rebbe says, this Shabbos, we were in hiding. So, in other words, that Shabbos, they didn't have a regular minyan. Everyone had to remain hidden in their particular hiding places. That must mean that there was some type of selection or something else that was going on in the ghetto. So the Rebbe often, from what the Rebbe writes about in the drushas, you could often see also what was happening over the course of the war. So the Rebbe writes as follows. He explains something incredibly beautiful. See, he explains this. He asks, Rashi says, Ma shmua shama uba? What did Yisro hear? So the Piyajetzna says, I don't understand what Rashi's question is. The Pasuk says what Yisro heard, right? Go back to number 10 for just a second, right? The Pasuk says, Vayishma Yisro and Koin Minyan, right? Yisro heard. And what did he hear? Look at the end of the Pasuk. Everything that Hashem did for Moshe for Yisro, Ki Otzi Hashem Es Yisro Mitzrayim. The Pasuk says, what did Yisro hear? He heard everything. He heard that Hashem took us out of Egypt, right? He heard everything that Hashem did for Klal Yisrael. So what is Rashi asking when Rashi says, Ma shmua shama uba? What did Yisro hear? What did Yisro hear that made him come and join Klal Yisrael? And the Piyajetzna says something absolutely amazing. The Rebbe explains, listen to what he says. The Rebbe says, Rashi is asking a different question. Rashi's question is not what Yisro heard. It's Ma shmua shama uba. What made Yisro join the Jewish people? What made him join? In other words, Yisro was the shver, right? Yisro was the father-in-law of Moshe Rabbeinu. So if Yisro was interested in Yiddishkeit, what could Yisro do? Say, Moshe, do me a favor. Send me a Malamed. Send me someone. Send me a guy to teach me about God. Right? They didn't get the Torah yet, but send me a guy, right? Send me a guy who teaches the about monotheism. So what Rashi's asking is, Mashmu Shama Uba. Why did Yisro feel compelled to leave the safety and security of Midian to ultimately come to the middle of the desert with Klal Yisrael. And the Piagetzna says something absolutely amazing. The Rebbe explains that Yisrael understood that the power of the Jewish people is that our spirituality is not tethered to geography. Meaning what? You see, and the Piagetzna actually develops this idea. He explains that, right, this week we read about Matan Torah, Sinaitic Revelation. If you were choosing the spot for Matan Torah, right? If somebody asked you to be the party planner for Matan Torah, right? What location would you choose? What location? I don't know. I would choose Eretz Yisrael, specifically Yerushalayim, specifically Har HaBayis, the site of the Akedah, the future site of the Beis HaMikdash. That's, where does HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us the Torah? Where does He give us the Torah? Middle of nowhere, right? We don't even know where Har Sinai is, right? And even if you did know Har Sinai, if you wanted to go, take your family up for a picnic on Har Sinai, go for it, right? There's no problem. Even the place doesn't have Kiddusha to it anymore. So why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us a Torah in the middle of nowhere? And the Piagetzna explains so beautifully that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, had HaKadosh Baruch Hu given us a Torah in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim and Har HaBayis, you would have thought that spirituality is tethered to geography. That where is the place you could connect with God? Only in Eretz Yisrael. Only in Yerushalayim, only in Har HaBayis. What does the Kadosh Baruch Hu do? He purposely gives us the Torah in the middle of nowhere. Why? To teach us that you could connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu everywhere. Torah is given in the middle of nowhere to remind us that you could connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu everywhere. Or to say a little bit differently, Yisrael recognized the power of the Jew, the power of the Jewish nation, is the ability to evolve. Right? Think about this in just a moment, right? We go ahead and we leave Egypt. 7 days later, we sing Az Yashir, right? 42 days after that, we're saying Naseh V'Nishma. What Klal Yisrael represents as a nation, and where is all this taking place? In the middle of nowhere. What does Yisro see? Yisro sees the power of the Jew is the power to evolve. The power of the Jew is the power to change. The power of the Jew is the ability to not fall into the clutches of zikna, of, so to speak, old age, of becoming set in our ways. Had Yisro, had a Malamed, come to him in Midian, he would have gained information. But it wasn't simply information that Piagetzna says that he was interested in. He was interested in understanding the dynamic of our people. How does a nation change? How do people change? How do people evolve? How do people self-actualize? And Yisro realized to see that and to understand that, I have to be with them. Let's see. I can't be sitting in Midian. I can't be sitting in Midian. I have to see how it's done by being in their midst. Or in other words, what grabbed Yisro's attention more than anything was the ability of the Jew to change, the ability of the Jew to evolve. To go from Egypt to the Red Sea, from the Red Sea to the desert, from the desert to Har Sinai, Az Yashir to Naseh V'Nishma. And by the way, change goes all kinds of ways, right? Because remember again, the same people who said Naseh V'Nishma also did what? Also did what? Built a golden calf. So remember again, change cuts both ways. But Yisro is intrigued by this people ultimately again who could undergo this type of transformative change. That's what Rashi was intrigued by. Mashmua Shama Uba. Why did Yisro have to come and join the people in the desert? Just get a malamed, learn everything you need to learn about Yiddishkeit in Midian, the comfort of home, right? No, I need to see the power of change that this people has. And if we link this back to David HaMelech, right, really seizing on the Baal Shem Tov, when David HaMelech says these words, Al Tashlicheni Le'es Zikna. So again, all of these beautiful and magnificent interpretations. But at the end of the day, the one I want you to leave with tonight primarily is the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. That what David HaMelech is saying, Kadosh Baruch Hu, do not let me fall into the clutches of old age, right? David HaMelech wasn't asking for Botox, right? He wasn't asking, right, help me escape this, help me escape. David HaMelech was saying, Kadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know what I'm scared about most? What I'm scared about most is becoming the kind of person who feels that he cannot change. Becoming a Zakein. Becoming so set in my ways that I say, okay, this is who I am, love it or leave it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I need your help. Don't let me fall into the clutches of Zikna. Our greatest power as a nation, our greatest power as individuals, lies in our ability to change, our ability to pivot, our ability to evolve, our ability to transcend, which ultimately represents our ability to self-actualize. Yisro saw it, and he was like, I got to see what this is. I got to join the people to see what's going on. David HaMelech saw it, and he said to Kodesh Baruch Hu, what I fear most is losing that strength, is falling into the clutches of immovable kite, right? The falling into the clutches of zikna. That's what scares me most. And how incredibly profound for us to learn this lesson, especially in these days. Where as a people, right, we know everything has changed. The last 112 days, everything has so fundamentally changed. Eretz Yisrael has changed. Am Yisrael has changed. It feels like everything has changed. But with that, we remind ourselves that yes, everything has changed. The fabric of everything has changed so fundamentally and so profoundly. But what we have to remind ourselves is there's a positive kind of like silver lining to all of this, which as we see everything around us change, you know what it reminds us? What does it remind us? That we could change as well. So often we think that there are certain immutable parts of our personality. You know, we all have things about ourselves that we want to change. And sometimes it's those very things that we tell ourselves, can't change it, can't change it. You know, I've been like this for such a long time. This is kind of what it is. This is who I am. And it's somewhat immutable in a while. And it's simply not true. We are living in times of tremendous upheaval and tremendous change. And if the world around us could change in such a profound way, then we as individuals have the ability to experience change as well. We have the ability to internalize David HaMelech's words. Identify an area in life where you have become a zaken. What's an area where you've become immobile, unmovable, unchangeable, reluctant to go ahead and address, and then remind yourself, I'm not a zaken. It doesn't have to be that way. Mashmua shama uba, al tashlicheni le'ez zikna. When the world is changing in such dramatic ways, David HaMelech reminds us to remind ourselves that we have the ability to make any necessary changes as well. All right, we'll stop over here for tonight. Shkoyach everyone, until next week. We'll, Amir Hashem, continue with Kapitel Ein Beis 72. Have a wonderful evening.